Good evening. It's really nice to get to stand back up here and present to you a message from God's Word once again. The first time I did this, I talked about soul disease, and I talked about many of the risk factors for heart disease, physical heart disease, and then kind of made some correlations spiritually with them. And as I made that, I realized this could be like one really, really, really long sermon. So I kind of did a short little invitation sort of thing on each of the risk factors. So tonight I'm going to expound on just one of those risk factors to kind of give a little bit more meat to the previous lesson. And hopefully, the more I do this, more of these risk factors will kind of come out. So this evening I want to talk about hypertension because I started school and suddenly there's a lot more stress in my life. Just kind of to outline what I'm planning on getting through, I first want to talk to you about hypertension and give a little bit of a background for what it is, what causes it, and its effects on your body. Then I'm going to make some spiritual connections to these causes and effects, offer some ways so that we can identify the different stresses in our lives, and then show how I think God would have us to deal with the stress. So first off, hypertension. The definition of it is a prolonged state of high blood pressure, and this is usually caused by chronic stress or a lack of exercise. Now, since those two things can cause hypertension, I'm only going to focus on the chronic stress part of it because a lack of exercise can really be boiled down to a sedentary lifestyle, which is another one of the risk factors for heart disease. So that'll be a different lesson. So let's talk about stress then. Chronic stress will cause this prolonged state of high blood pressure, lead to hypertension, and stress can be good, though. So it can be bad and good. The trick is to know which is which, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how to tell which is which a little bit later. So for now, we're just going to talk about negative stress and the effects that it can have on your body. So a stressor can be little, like figuring out what we're going to have for dinner. And that may get bigger the closer it gets to dinner. Or big, like a job change that requires you to uproot your family and move across the country or to a different country. So these examples are relatively neutral when it comes to positive and negative stress, which means that they can really be turned either into a positive stress or a negative stress depending on how you deal with them. Another cause for stress can be something as simple as letting yourself overthink an issue. One of these neutral stressors may come along, or many of them at once, and you begin to get bogged down and stressed out. I know people don't like to hear it, but sometimes all of that negative stress is really just in your head, and it's nothing you should be really stressing about at all. It's completely irrational. However, as irrational as it may be, they are still stressors and very real to the stressee. Thus, they affect the person physically as well. The effects of stress can be rather devastating. First and foremost, chronic stress, as mentioned earlier, can cause hypertension, a major risk factor in heart disease. Hypertension is that prolonged state of high blood pressure, and this puts a large amount of physical stress on your arteries. Not like they're really worried about you, but more like actual pressure stress. Like a soda can that I just shook really violently suddenly has a lot of stress on it. The physical stress on your arteries can cause your heart to work a whole lot harder than it really needs to. And what happens when muscles work hard? Because the heart's just one muscle, so when it works really hard, muscles, they get tired, they hurt, but they get stronger. And, you know, you may say, what's wrong with getting my heart stronger? Well, nothing's wrong with a strong heart. The thing is, when muscles work hard, they also get bigger. And the heart can only get so big before it runs out of room to grow. And this is called hypertrophy. The heart then begins to get stiff and unable to pump as much blood. So, like, I knew a guy, a counselor at camp once, who was a really buff guy, but he couldn't touch his shoulders. So, like, his muscles were so big, he got stiff, and he began to not be able to move quite as well. And since your blood, since your heart cannot pump as much blood, that starts to increase your risk for heart disease or a heart attack. Another effect of chronic stress is just as scary or more. Positive stress or acute stress causes your body to create something called epinephrine, adrenaline, or neoepinephrine, which helps your body deal with immediate reactions. And these disappear after a short time and normally don't really cause much damage to your body, but cortisol is a long-lasting stress hormone that flows through you all the time. And chronic stress can cause your cortisol levels to rise and cause a multitude of problems. It can affect your brain and memory loss, cause fogginess or anxiety, and more stress. So then it just kind of starts to snowball. It can also inhibit the production of new brain cells. And this can lead to even more problems such as depression, PTSD, schizophrenia, drug addiction, dementia or Alzheimer's. So you can see why proper stress management is probably something that needs to be taken really seriously on a mental and physical level, as well as spiritual. So hypertension in your spirituality. Let's be honest here. We as individuals are not thinking about God 100% of the time, nor do I think God really intends for us to think about him 100% of the time, just that we're doing things that bring glory to him. I think it's important for us to give some things our complete attention so that in the end, we are able to do something for God's glory. For instance, I can't really be thinking about the plans that God may have for me or how I'm going to spread his word at the very same time that I'm taking a verbal test in the Japanese language. I'm not that good at multitasking. Or, you know, tying into a demolition system to inhibit the enemy, because if I do one little thing wrong there, also like to turn your attention to 1 Timothy 5:8. It's a short little verse that I picked out here, but it says that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied their faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So God does have, you know, it's important for you to take care of people, and to take care of people you have to have a job or work somehow to provide for people. So it's important for us to focus on things that in the end will bring about glory to God. The problem is when we are so stressed that we don't refocus ourselves back on God. We get so focused and stressed out about doing these things that kind of take us away from God a little bit, but normally we kind of, you know, use them for God's glory, but we get so bogged down with them that we forget to return to God and give him glory for it. So when we don't return and focus our heart and mind on the Lord, our soul may begin to get tired from all of the stress and trying to do so much without God's help and without the help that God gives us. So we have to be careful with what I just said earlier, though. We all probably don't refocus on God nearly as much as we think we should, or when we should. God gives us, as Christians, ample opportunities to refocus on him throughout the week. Like this last week, I was approached by a missionary from South Korea, and he asked to study the Bible with me. I had class in like 30 minutes, but I thought, this is probably something that will be helpful to me because I haven't thought about the Lord much today, and here's a good time for me to refocus on him. So at the very least, God gives us 2 to 3 times a week in which we can forget about the stresses of life, we can forget about work, we can forget about that electricity bill, we can forget about rent, we can forget about all the family issues that might be going on, and just relax and focus on what God has to say to us through His Word, and spend time with more of His children. Luke 10, if you turn over there, verse 38, Luke 10:38. I'll read through verse 42. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Serving is not a bad thing. Serving is great. Jesus came and taught us to serve. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. All too often I find myself, as I'm sure many of you do too, not really focused while I'm here at church, while the Lord is in our living room. My mind is wandering about homework that I might have due this week. I have a lot. Tests, yard work, family stuff, or even if I'm going to have that time for my attack in Clash of Clans. Just like Martha did here, she invited Jesus into her home, not Mary. She wanted to serve Jesus, but was too caught up in the worries of entertaining her guests. Let's be clear. What Martha wasn't doing was wrong, necessarily. But think of how Jesus may have responded if she had invited him into her house and then did absolutely nothing to serve or prepare for him. But she was worried more about the earthly thing while Jesus was there with her than the spiritual things that Jesus could give to her. So she let that earthly stress take away from what she needed. God has given us precious time while we're here, which benefits us both spiritually and mentally, yet we still find ways to keep ourselves stressed out about something, even while we're here. But didn't you say before that there are some things that just we cannot take our minds off of? Some things are just so important or so scary that I can't ignore them. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like it is truly inhibiting your worship? Anything you're stressed about? Is there something that is truly inhibiting your worship? Is it negatively affecting the health of your soul? Are you beginning to see it as a very serious problem? Our spiritual heart can hypertrophy just like our physical heart can. When we take on stress that is more than we can bear alone, thinking that we can do it ourselves, we put ourselves at a higher risk for a spiritual heart attack. Our souls can become stiff and rigid, eventually giving up to where we no longer really seek the Lord and die spiritually, consumed by our worldly stresses. So how should we identify these stresses? What are stresses that are legitimate for us to kind of be worrying about and have on our mind, and which ones should we really be able to just kind of put away and not worry about? I learned a lot about stress management shortly after I joined the National Guard, where I was sent to a seminar about a book called The 7 Habits for Highly Effective People. It's a nice book. I encourage you to read it. It's by Stephen Covey, and we're also taught in the National Guard rather frequently about resilience training to keep our minds focused on the important stuff, the job that we have to do. So in the beginning of my lesson, I mentioned positive and negative stresses. To be clearer, it is not the stress themselves that are negative or positive, more so our response to it, to the stressful stimuli, that that is positive or negative, our reactions. And that is a very important thing to remember. As human beings with the capacity to love, to hate, to be happy or sad, and so on and so forth, we can choose what our response to a stressful stimuli will be. It may be very hard at times to choose the right response and the godly response, but it is what we must strive to do. So before we get into our response to stress and dealing with it, let's do a quick little interactive exercise on identifying stress and our management plan so that we can later respond to and deal with our stressors in a positive way. I think this marker works because I think it uses the other one. But this here is our circle of control. We control what goes on in this circle. So, for instance, driving, I am in control of my car and what goes on in it and what it's doing on the road. I am not in control of other drivers. So, name some things that you are in control of or things that you are not in control of. Go ahead. Speak up. Anything you can think of that you know, I am in control of this.
Following distance.
Following distance?
Yeah.
How you react? Anything we're not in control of besides other drivers? Road conditions, stoplights? So there's some stuff that's obviously within our control and kind of obviously not.
Drivers.
There's more than one of them, right? So within these things that we can control, we can set up another visual. It's still here in our mind. We can have another visual so that we can begin to manage the things that stress us. So we could have put other things besides driving and vehicle stuff, like just our attitudes throughout the day, what other people say to us we can't control, but how we react to what they are saying is something completely within our control. So we can set up something that looks a little bit like this. And in, we have quadrant 1, quadrant 2, quadrant 3, and quadrant 4. And we have things coming here are important. And then these things here are not important. And then we have urgent things and not so urgent things. So really we have things that are important and urgent, things that are important but not urgent, things that are not so important but urgent, and things that are not important but not urgent. So things that would be in quadrant one would be like crises or pressing problems, or deadline projects, things that need to happen and they need to happen now. A decision needs to be made. There are things that are urgent and not important, which would be interruptions, Your kid comes running in like, ah, my little brother threw poop at me. You know, that you were in the middle of a phone call and that happens, you got to deal with it. It's urgent, but it's like not like super important. Some phone calls, you know, might not be super important, but they're an interruption and they're urgent, so you need to deal with them. Or meetings, even. In quadrant three, your things that are urgent but not important would be... oops, I messed that up. Those were urgent and not important. The throwing poop. Urgent, but not super important. The things that are important, though, but not urgent, are things like prevention, relationship building, planning, and recreation. Those are things that need to happen, but they don't need to happen right now. But they're kind of things that happen in the long run. So you can't neglect something like a relationship all the time, but it's not something that I have to be talking to this person right now, all the time. Otherwise, you know, they're going to go away. And then you have your quadrant four, which is not important and not urgent at all. And that's just trivial things, busy work, time wasters, some phone calls, just you don't need to happen at all, and then pleasant activities. So just things that aren't really time wasters, really, essentially. So if something is important, in this book he talks about things that are important and he capitalizes the I and makes sure it's like, you know, italic and everything so you can make sure it's important. Those things mean that it contributes to your self-mission, your values, your high-priority goals. And these goals should include our spirituality or our relationship with God, our long-term goals, and career or family. So in his book, he kind of gives a breakdown of different types of people that put certain importance on certain quadrants. So he says, as long as you focus on quadrant one, it keeps getting bigger and bigger until it dominates you. It's like the pounding surf. A huge problem comes and knocks you down, and you're wiped out. You struggle back up only to face another one that knocks you down and slams you back to the ground. Some people are literally beaten up by problems all day, every day. And they only have relief, the only relief they find in escaping that problem, are they're escaping the things that are not important and not urgent activities there in quadrant four. So when you look at their total matrix there, their quadrant one is huge, takes up most of the remaining 90% of the quadrants, and then only 10% is mostly dominated by quadrant four, with only negligible attention paid to quadrants two and three. That's how people who manage their lives by crisis live. There are other people who spend a great deal of time in urgent but not important quadrant three, thinking that they're in quadrant one. They spend most of their time reacting to these things that are urgent, assuming that they're also very important when they're not. The reality is that the urgency of these matters is often based on the priorities and expectations of other people and not what is important to you. People who spend most of their time living exclusively in quadrants 3 and 4 basically lead irresponsible lives. Effective people stay out of quadrants 3 and 4 because, urgent or not, they are not important. They also shrink quadrant 1 down to size by spending more time in quadrant 2. Quadrant 2 is the heart of an effective personal management. It deals with things that are not urgent, but are important. It deals with things like building relationships, writing a personal mission statement, long-range planning, exercising, and preventative maintenance or preparation. All of those things we know that we need to be doing, but somehow seldom get around to doing because they're not urgent. So quadrant two is the one that we really kind of need to be spending most of our time on because therein lies our relationship with God. It is the most important thing in our lives, but it is not urgent, like physical emergencies or crises that knock us off our feet every once in a while. It can be considered urgent if you are not currently part of God's family, but when you are, you realize that it's not always the most urgent thing. So if we can get into a habit of running stressors through this matrix, then we can greatly reduce the amount of stress that we take physically or mentally or even at times spiritually. The hard thing is taking those things that we mentioned earlier, those things out of our control box, and not worrying about them. We need to learn to either put them out of our mind entirely, or even better, go to the Lord and take them to Him. Turn with me, if you would, to, not with me, I wrote it down, Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He will take care of what we can't take care of. God will take care of road conditions and other drivers and stoplights. Well, maybe not necessarily all those things, but those things that we know are not in our control. God will take care of those things if we just let Him do it and take it to Him. He knows we need to be taken care of. In Psalms 94, verse 19, it says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." When we know that God can take care of those things that stress us out but are not in our control, it brings us great joy, and suddenly stress is relieved. Yes, there will be crises and emergencies and things that come up and worry us to no end. Life is unexpected, and some things just pop up on us at the wrong time. But how we deal with these will define who we are and what we want our true goal to be. Turn over to James chapter 1. James 1, starting in verse 2, he says, "Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything." When we take on huge stresses, especially when we get stresses of things that we can't control, and we have learned and created in ourselves a habit to give those things over to the Lord, to let Him take care of some of the stress and to not worry about the things that we cannot control, it grows us closer to God. And that perseverance to go through that, letting God handle it, will make us more mature and complete. God is here for us. He will not protect us from troubles and stress, because it is in those trials that we grow closer to Him. We can have a peace of mind among the stress, because ultimately our hope is in heaven, not here on earth. So dealing with stress God's way, we've talked just a little bit about it. We've talked a lot about stress and hypertension, what causes it, the effects that it can have on our physical body and our mind, how it relates to our spirituality and our relationship with God, what it should do for us, and in some ways how we should manage our stress on our own. But I would finally like to present to you the way that our Lord sums it up on how our relationship with stress and God and us should be. Turn to Matthew 6. I had a little part of this in my original sermon. I went through and I looked at it and just realized so much more of this section. God is really trying to show us a good way to deal with stresses. I think if we look at the word treasure here more as worries and things that our minds focus on you'll kind of see where I'm getting at. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. If you feel like stress is overwhelming you, knocking you down over and over again, or if you feel like you have not been resting your worries on God the way that he wants you to, taking on more than your spiritual heart can handle, if you are worried about the hypertension that you are putting on your soul and your risk for soul disease, use the opportunities that God has given you tonight. Talk to a friend here. Talk to the Lord here. Rest your worries on him. Do not be like Martha, concerning yourself with the duties and obligations and stress while the Lord is sitting in your midst here tonight, providing a portion for you. If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing.